Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Well, welcome everyone to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English, and tonight we are going to do something a little different. We're chatting it up with some very special readers who are also bloggers. Please welcome Barbara Vay and Sherina Russo. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks, Sheila.
Thank you, Sheila.
I know, I'm really excited to have you both on here. We're going to talk about things that actually interest readers. I'm really interested in your opinion about blogging and if readers are actually still reading blogs and where are they at and what are they doing and what do they love instead of, we often try to tell them, you know, this is what's exciting and this is what you should be doing. But I'm really interested in the flip side of that coin to find out, you know, what do readers want? So we're going to talk about that and a little bit about RT and upcoming BEA and talk about some e-readers. So we have kind of a long list for our listeners. You can listen to we have the chat session open. So if you want to get on there and you want to talk and engage with us, you can do that. I have that chat session up. And if you want to call in, it's 646-200-4071. And after the show, you can download the podcast. Just come on over to readersentertainment.com and you'll find us. And I'll make sure that I get the links up for the blogs so that you can check them out, because I know that you're going to absolutely love them. Barbara, I'd like to start with you because you've been blogging for quite some time, but you did not start out as a professional blogger. You were a reader just like everyone else. Tell us a little bit about how you got started and let people know where they can find your blog.
Sure, Sheila. It's really an interesting story because I had no idea what a blog was to begin with. I was a reader. I had gone on the Authors at Sea cruise. I see it was like in 2006. You were there also.
Yeah.
I didn't know you at the time. But there were readers, and I think there were 30-some authors there, and they would have different events that we could go to. And while I was on it, I met a young woman who worked for Publishers Weekly, which I had never heard of before. As a reader, we don't really come in contact with that. That's usually a trade publication. But after talking to her a couple months later, she contacted me and asked if I'd write a blog from a reader's perspective. 4 years later, I'm still at it.
And now you have a name for your blog, and we can actually find it through that URL, correct?
Right. It's beyondherbook.com.
And now I just have to say, because I think this is amazing, and this you know, just kind of lets our listeners know, how big this has really come over the years. You had an anniversary recently, and you had how many comments?
Well, let me say it this way. My first month of doing it, I begged everyone to please go to it and read the blog, and I think we got 1,200 hits the first month, and I was thrilled that many people would come out to read this blog. The last anniversary, we ended up with over 22,400 comments in 6 days.
That's just so astounding. And congratulations. I mean, you've got to
Thank
be
you.
Thrilled. That's so thrilling.
It was totally overwhelming. It was nothing I ever expected. And one thing I have to say about the readers, and this is kind of a neat thing, they had such a good time at this virtual party that we threw online that they formed their own group on Facebook called Friends of Beyond Her Book Party. And they keep in touch on there, and authors have joined. And so it's readers and authors kind of getting to know each other and just building this relationship. And they're always telling each other different books and different contests and different things that are going online. So they're kind of keeping the party going in a separate room now online.
But I think that's kind of what you hope to do with the blog, because for blogs, it's dialogue, not monologue. You're wanting to engage them. That's kind of the purpose of a blog. You're not writing an article where you're just informing. You're actually looking for that feedback. So to have somebody actually take it upon themselves to create a Facebook page so that you have a place to gather, you really have created a community around your blog, right?
I think so, and they're very active. They're so active, in fact, that let me just show you how this extended. I did a guest blog on Seekerville. It's a group of authors that that do their own blog, and they asked me to guest blog, where I went there. They had pre-asked me questions, and I had answered them, and they put it in a blog form. And I spent the day that it was posted, I stayed available all day so that I could answer anyone that commented. And in that 24-hour period, there were over 540 comments on a blog. It was a record for them. They had never had so many. But what happened was the readers that read my blog, I had mentioned it on that Facebook page, that Friends of the Beyonder Book Party, and they all came over to this new blog that they had never read before, met all these new authors. And I think this is how this community grows. You know, it's like, you know, kind of a round robin. You go from house to house visiting people, and this is what happened. So now just this week I did another guest blog for Danger Women Writing, and, you know, we, again, ended up with several hundred comments on the blog. These people would just kind of follow and then meet new authors. They're more than willing to do this, and I think it's, you know, some people say, you know, that blogging may not be the way, but I really think it's alive and well, you know, depending on what your content and the community, like you said.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely a huge success, and I know you've built it, and you go to conventions, you meet people, people really feel that personal connection with you. Now, Sharina's actually new. She has just started writing a blog for Reader's Entertainment. It's called A Reader's Perspective, and I will say we let her say whatever she wants. I'm pretty sure the word ass made it into her blog, and I don't know if we're gonna get in trouble with that, but it's like, okay, well, that's Sharina and that's what she said, and we're leaving it in there. But it really, Sharina, you're a reader. How long have you been reading?
10 years. Dedicating 10 years, yes.
A dedicated reader for 10 years. And now you go to a lot of the events as well. I know all three of us were just at RT, which was really fun. And then, of course, we're all going to see each other again at BEA, because Shireen always goes helps me out at BEA, which has been really great. Tell me, Shireen, as a reader, in your own perspective, when you're writing your blog, and you just did a really fantastic one about the Nook. I know you love your Nook, and we're going to talk about that too. What kind of things do you think readers are interested in hearing about?
What I like to hear about is what's coming up next from the author, how she comes about her plot and gets her story ideas. If she appreciates feedback from her readers, I like to give feedback. If I really, really enjoyed a book, I like to let the author know. And also, I like to, give suggestions if they're open to suggestions, or, you know, like if I saw something in a story that I said, oh, it could have went this way or that way, and not that I want to offend the author, it's just that sometimes I get so immersed in a book that sometimes my mind goes off in a different direction because I see something else going on. So I really like to, if I enjoy the author, I really like to contact her and or him and let them know that I really enjoyed the book. And that's what's important to me. You know, because reading is a personal experience, because I'm taking my time to read a book, which prior to 10 years, you wouldn't catch me reading a book. I didn't even read in high school. But now I love it, and I regret that I didn't read a lot before that, because I missed out on so many things because there's just so many good stories out there. So now I'm more in tune to reading, and I just make sure that I get everything.
Now, I want to ask you, Sharina, tell us a little bit. You just wrote about a very interesting situation with Barnes & Noble's Nook. Can you just give us a quick synopsis as to the breaking news, so to speak?
Well, the Nook Color its big update a few days ago. This, I mean, I was reading on Nook message boards, and there, you know, and there's a Nook, Nook Facebook page, and I was reading comments, and this this update was big because when the Nook was the color paint first came out, and you could touch the screen, and it was small, and it, you know, compact, and it looked like a tablet, but oh no, it wasn't a tablet. But yes, it is, and it's on an Android platform. And as I was reading, people were like, "Oh, this is going to be a, you know, a tablet," and they wanted a tablet because they wanted it as an alternative to the iPad because some people can't afford an iPad. So, but they wanted it to do things like an iPad. So when the news about the update came out, people were very excited about it. So now that it's finally here, it's more of a tablet now than it was before. And you can do really cool things about it, you know, with it. And I love it. I love the update. I mean, I'm not going to say, well, it doesn't do this and it doesn't do that. I mean, it's not supposed to because it's not an iPad or all the other tablets that are coming out. It's an e-reader. And that it can do these other things now that the update is out, I think it's pretty cool. I think it's, you know, it's a bonus. I don't see it as, I'm not going to get greedy and have, well, I wanted to do this. Well, where is this app and where is that app? So I like it. I mean, it's, I wanted email, you know, a separate email so I could go and see if I have email, and I got that, and I'm pretty happy. And I have the web browser, and I'm fine with that. Angry Birds, well, you know.
You can skip that?
No, I totally suck at Angry Birds, but it's addicting. It really is. My thing with Angry Birds is I love the sound effects and all that other stuff. And I just, I miss on purpose just to hear the pigs laugh.
Oh, you're too much. Now, Barbara, what do you hear about e-readers?
Well, when we had our anniversary blog a couple weeks ago, we gave away 21 e-readers.
Oh, wow.
And the feedback from the people who won them was pretty amazing. One woman told me, she actually won from Deborah LeBlanc, and it included one of Deborah LeBlanc's book. And the reader contacted me and said, look, I only like Janet Ivanovich books. I looked at this book, and it's not the kind of book I read, but I felt obligated to read it because I won this e-reader. So she read the book called The House Divided and absolutely loved it. She wanted to tell me the whole plot of the story. She loved it so much. And what happened was she went and ordered Deborah LeBlanc's backlist because here she discovered this author she would have never read. She said, you know, I saw the cover of that book and I thought that is nothing I would ever picked up. Even if somebody would have given it to me for free, I wouldn't have read it because it's not my kind of book. And I think this is where a lot of, you know, people that are, a lot of readers that are real closed-minded about what they like, they make big mistakes because there's a lot of really good stories out there, but they shy away from them because of the cover or because of the subject matter or the genre they've never read. And so the e-readers, I think, open up a lot of that stuff, especially like giving these away. Okay, so that was one story. And another story was a woman who won one and downloaded a bunch of stuff, and her husband asked her about it, so she downloaded a book for him, and he read it, and she hasn't seen it since. He reads it every night. He's read four books on it already. This is from a man who hasn't read a book in 20 years. So I think that, you know, in that way, it's really going to make readers out of people maybe who don't want to get books. It's something new. People like gadgety stuff. You know, I guess I just feel like I don't want it to take the place of real books because I'm still a real book person. Although I love my Kindle, I mean, I love an e-reader that I can take it with me on an airplane and carry 5-6 books at a time instead of packing them all in my suitcase. I love the convenience of it, but I'm at a crossroads with it. You know, it's I'm kind of more old school where I like a book and I like to hold a book and I want to get a book signed, didn't I?
Yeah, but I bought a Nook, an e-reader, because I had no choice. It was either that or kick the kids out of the house and put up a shelf for more books. I just ran out of space. It was convenient for me. And I was a strictly historical romance reader, because I that's the genre I love, because I like history and I, you know, I relate to that. However, once I got my Nook, I became an impulse buyer, and it opened up a possibility for me, because the internal memory of the Nook is 1,500 books. And then you can expand the memory by putting a mini SD card, and then you could get 20,000 books. And I was just so overwhelmed by that. So then I started branching out to other genres, and I like romantic suspense. Who would have thought that? And I love the feeling of when I'm reading, and I guess who it is, and I'm like, ah, I got you. So it that's what I like.
Let me ask. I want to ask you both this, and Sharina, I'll start with you. You have your e-reader. You have the
yeah.
Nook, and Barbara has the Kindle. Do you feel that the books are less expensive or should be less expensive? And are you willing to try a book when it's 99 cents or $1.99, where you might not be willing to try it if they're trying to get $7.99 or $10 for it? What do you think about the pricing?
Well, what I noticed about the pricing is paid paperbacks are cheaper for the Nook. I have paid $6.99, $7.99 for a book for the Nook because it's the paperback. That's how much the paperback costs. What I feel is highly unfair is that if I bought the paperback and I went to the counter at Barnes & Noble, I can use my discount card. The membership. If I buy it on the Nook, I can't. You can't use it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, you can't use it. You can use your discount card in the Barnes & Noble Cafe. That's where I get my coffee there. But I can't use it to purchase Nook books. You can't use it to purchase the Nook and or Nook accessories. Now, I'm okay if you can't use it to purchase the Nook accessories and the books. You should be able to do that. And I actually had... Not that I had words, but I got into a really big debate with some of the Barnes & Noble staff, because they know me by name over there in our local Barnes & Noble. And he's telling me that, no, Nook books are cheaper than the paperbacks. And I'm like, no, they're not. They are not. And I had to pull up all these books to show him. See that book? That's $7.99. And I went and got the book off the shelf. You see it? It's the same book, and it's $7.99. So it should be discounted. You should, if they're not going to discount them, they should let people who have the discount card use their discount for the books, and they don't do that. I have issues with that, a lot of issue with that. It's not fair because you're paying for the membership. It's not a free membership. You're paying a yearly
right.
Subscription for the membership, and it's not even like a one-time say $25 for the year for a first-time membership, and then as you renew, it's discounted. It's the same price year
right.
after year after year. So give us something back, although with the amount of coffee I drink in the cafe, it pays for itself.
Well, what about books that – I see a lot of books, and I don't know – I know this is true with the Kindle. I'm going to talk to Barbara in just a second, but I don't know about the Nook. Are there books that are 99 cents and $1.99?
Yes, there are. There's also free Nook books, a lot of them that I wouldn't read. But I have gotten books for 99 cents. I have gotten books for $2.99. I got a free one by Joe Goodman, which I really didn't expect because she's a well-known author. It's usually like the authors that aren't, so well-known that the books are cheaper. I purchased a lot of liquid silver books off the Nook simply because of the formatting, it's the EPUB format, so I
right.
buy them through Barnes & Noble so they can make it into my library. I'm not a fan of the side-loading thing, connecting it to the computer. I like to buy it from the device. There are discounted books, but I guess that's from the publisher. But normally the books, they're regular price, except there have been cheaper trade paperbacks. Trade paperback is $14.99. This you could get it for $9.99, something like that.
Got it. Now, Barbara, what about your Kindle? Do you feel like the price of the books are fair? Do you feel like it should be cheaper? Are you getting free books and those 99-cent books? What's happening there for you with pricing?
Well, I guess I'm in a whole different situation, you know, because I get a lot of books from publishers, from authors to read for the blog. So in that way, it's a little different. But my feeling on it is, and I understand, the same amount of work goes into it, whether it's a paperback book or if it's a an e-book, because you still have to have editors and you still have to have, you know, copy editors and proofreaders and things like that. You just don't have the paper, the presses, those kinds of things, where I think it should be a little cheaper because of that. And my big thing is that, okay, I've always been a person that if I really liked a book, I want to borrow it to people. I want to give it out. I want to, you know, hand it to other people and then get it back and then give it to somebody else and get it back and give it, you know, and I know that they have, like, those little loan things, which I just don't understand any of that anyway. But as far as the free books, I do download the free ones. I know Sam Heen every month sends me a list that I put in my blog of free books for the month that they're giving away. And I load those into my iPhone, because I don't like to be stuck anywhere without a book. And I always have my phone with me. If I don't have anything else with me, I have my phone with me. So I can still read a book on my phone. And those free ones are the ones I download. And I've discovered some really good stories that way. So I think there's a big case to be made for that. And I think it doesn't hurt to deeply discount books so that to make them more affordable to people, to get them to know you and discover new readers. As far as me getting the free books, they have it online where we can just order books and they get sent to us. The problem is they're like the ARC, the advanced reading copies that you get. Sharina was talking about formatting. They aren't really formatted right. You know, sometimes paragraphs run together or there's big spaces or there's weird stuff printed in the middle. but other than that, you know, if it's a good story, that part really doesn't bother me. You know,
okay.
I think it's smart to discount the books. I think they'd sell even more. I think they'd make even more money if they discounted them.
What do you think?
I like the e-book because it also I discovered other publishers and other authors that I normally wouldn't have had I did not have an e-reader, because I cannot sit at the computer and read books.
Right.
It's just not personal enough for me, and I have to have a book in my hand. That's why I still buy print books. It's just that I reserve them for my auto-buy authors, authors that I really love, and I have to have the book in my hand because I'm also a comfort reader.
Right.
However, with the Len feature with the Barnes & Noble, I do not like at all, because had you not have an e-reader, you would buy the book and then tell your friends that this I've really read a good book, or you tell them either get it yourself or you would loan the book out to them, and then you get the book back and then you can loan it to somebody else. With the Barnes & Noble Len feature, you can only lend it once. And while it's for 2 weeks, and once you lend it, you can't read it, and you have to wait it to come back for the 2 weeks to expire. After the 2 weeks expires, you can't loan that book again.
Oh.
And also, speaking to Barnes & Noble, because there's a gentleman that I speak to all the time, I actually stalk him because I've talked to him so many times. His name is Scott. He's one of the managers, and he's become, like the Nook guy to go to. We've discussed this because the problem is it's the publishers. They don't want to give permission to lend them. It's something with the copyrights or they will lose money on it with the lend feature. But, you know, that's how people spread the word about books, word of mouth. And they're not seeing it from the perspective of the reader that if I had the print copy, I would have loaned it to somebody anyway. And if she would have liked it, she would have made a fan of that author. So when the next book comes out, she would go out and buy it herself. They're not
right.
Seeing that picture. So there are not a lot of Nook books, but a lot of well-known authors that I would love to lend my friends that I just simply can't. And also, you can't share your Nook library with someone who else has a Nook. So that's for me, that's off-putting.
So that it sounds like both of you kind of feel the same way as far as the lending. If you're going to pay the full price for a book, then, you know, whether it's an e-book or a print book, for if you pay the full price, then I think there should be an option of, okay, you paid the full price and now you can lend the book up to 10 times or some kind of program that could at least make you feel like, okay, whether I get it in print or ebook, I'm still getting the same deal for the amount of money.
See, but it's not seen I don't think it's seen as the same way. When you buy the print book that's yours forever, it's mine, I have it, you have sole possession of it, you could feel it, you could touch it, you can... Some people smell the books because they like books so much, but they don't see an e-book in the same category. They're seeing is that you're buying the rights to digitally download that, and that's it. We're giving you permission to download it, and it's not, and the power's not in the reader's hands to say you don't feel like you own that book. Truly own that book.
I think Sharina hit it on the nose. It's not like you really own the book. It's like you're borrowing it from them.
You
know,
pay the
they're
same
just letting
price.
You use it. You know,
right.
It's like you're renting it or something because it does feel like that. And if I really, really like a book, I want to share it with other people. And Sharina's also right that, you know, once you do that, I can't tell you how many books I've given out to people and made them believers. And then they go out as soon as the next one comes out. They don't want to wait for me to finish the book. They want to go out and get it themselves.
Right.
I think it's a foolish thing. And if they're going to do that, then it should not be the same price as the paperback books.
I agree.
Or the hardcover books.
And I think people are getting so caught up in the digital rights management and making sure things are not getting pirated. And it's not that I don't have a healthy respect for that. I really do. But I think there's so much concern and emphasis being put on the technology and the security of that technology that people have lost sight, people being those who are in charge of the digital rights management for ebooks. I think they've lost sight of how personal reading is to people. There, you know, you get so caught up in the technology that the message itself, the feeling that comes with the ownership of that book, and Barbara, I think you said that, and I know Sharina said that, you know, you own that book, and it becomes a friend to you, and I know for a fact you both are like, you know, we have books that are our comfort books and that we want to hold them and smell them and touch them, and they are our friend, and that kind of puts a barrier between having that immense sense of loyalty and belonging that readers like to enjoy and have always enjoyed that they have with print books, that obviously there's something not quite there yet for ebooks. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah, because they're not
seeing
it from the reader's perspective that reading is an intimate thing. They're not seeing it that whatever you're reading. You know, they're not seeing it that way. They're seeing it all that I don't want this one to steal my book or this one to download it illegally. And they're not treating it the same as if you would buy a print book. And that's unfortunate.
It is. It really is. It's almost like readers who are the people that they, you know, they want to reach out to, they have to treat them like the lowest common denominator. Oh, this person might steal it and give it away, and we'll lose all this money. You know, I don't know what the answer is going to be. I really don't. It would be great if there's some new technology that comes out that says, you know, that helps from, you know, to keep people from stealing, but that still allows you to feel like once it's yours, it's really yours. And I know that technology is not there yet, but hopefully in the future, it's coming down the pike. Now, we've only got about 45 seconds left, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. But I really would love to have you guys come back again because I have a lot of other questions about e-readers and about print books and things, you know, things that are the reader's perspective. And so I would really love to have you come back. And I want to thank you both for joining me. I really appreciate you ladies coming on tonight.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
Yes, thanks for having us.
And I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. You can download the podcast and share it on your site, your Facebook, or whatnot. And you can download it from iTunes as well. So in a little bit, we'll go ahead and have a blog put up so that we can show you how to find both Barbara and Sharina online. And that's at readersentertainment.com/radio. I'm your host, Sheila English, and thank you so much for joining me.
Have a good night.
Good night.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.